We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light, and be sure to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Dustin Hawkinsmith. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And I am telling you, there are 100 million reasons why you should listen up. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is celebrating the return of sports by giving away up to $100 million in prizes to all of their customers, including one lucky winner who will take home a $1 million cash prize. While the top prize is reserved for one lucky winner, everyone who signs up and enters DraftKings free football survivor pool will receive an instant bonus prize of at least $5 in value upon entering. No reason why you shouldn't enter. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN to claim your share of $100 million in instant giveaways and put yourself in the running for the $1 million cash top prize. That's promo code KSN to get your share of $100 million in prizes only at DraftKings. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Dustin, it is quarter number four, and we just got done listening to Diane Freiermuth, mother of Penn State tight end Pat Freiermuth. And before we get on to the rest of the news, I just wanted to get your reaction, an interview with a mother of one of the football players, Dustin.
Yeah, I thought it was the thoughts from her about what the parents were trying to accomplish by speaking up, you know, and dealing with people calling them helicopter parents and that kind of thing. It's like, you know what, just because my kid is 21 years old doesn't mean I'm going to stop fighting for them. It doesn't mean that he can't fight for himself. It doesn't mean that we're babying or anything like that. It just means that we collectively as parents have a certain perspective on this thing. We have watched with interest as our own child makes his way through all the different safety protocols and is being handled, as scary as it might be sometimes, being led and guided by Jane Franklin, Penn State's head football coach. And we're just basically voicing the fact that we have felt very comfortable with how they're going about their business. And I think to a certain extent at Penn State anyway, the results on this speak for themselves as far as positive tests and that kind of thing. I didn't take any issue with the parents writing the letter in the first place. I thought she explained it really well, what they were trying to get out of it, which was, you know, like I think I mentioned it earlier, it was as much as anything not to lean on the Big Ten to, hey, change your mind. Of course, everybody would love that. But it's just saying, you know, we just want to know why, and we want to know where are we going from here? What's happening with my redshirt senior? You know, that was another part of it. As a parent to a young child myself, like I've watched with interest anytime a parenting decision has to be made when it comes to COVID-19, whether you're sending your child back to school or not. You know, I think as a parent, there's no such thing as a right or wrong decision here. It's just about what type of risks you're willing to take to protect your child and make sure that your child thrives. And I just felt like this was another example of that. This was parents speaking up, not because their kids couldn't, but because that, you know, their collective voice had a little bit of power behind it. So by all means, right away, write the letter. I thought she defended it well.
I thought she did also, Dustin, and I'll take maybe just a little bit different take on that helicopter parent criticism. I'm not a parent, so I'm on the outside, could look in and be critical, but I'm not, and I'll tell you why. The players themselves, they're going to want to play no matter what. We know that, and just like I mentioned with Kevin Warren's son, he's an adult, could make his own decisions. Yes, we know that. But if the Big Ten presidents and the commissioner are trying to look out for the best interests of the student athletes. Can you name me anyone in the world who is more interested in the best interests of the student athlete than the parents? Right. I almost think it should have been up to them to decide. They're in the best decision. They're the ones who care the most. As you said, Dustin, you're a parent of a young child. I know you would not want to put your child in danger. So if you were in that position to make a decision, I know that your motives would be pure, I guess.
Right.
More pure than anybody else's.
So I think as parents, you know, you're looking for the best interest of your child. And one, and obviously the first and foremost thing is safety from a illness virus perspective. You always have to consider that and weigh that against everything. But, you know, we as parents are, you know, we have a daughter who's a, you know, it's our only child. She has been at home for the most part, at home without that sort of social interaction since March of 2020. And we had a decision whether we were going to do in-person school or virtual school. I don't fault any parent for making any decision. We felt like the idea of going back to school outweighed the idea of being home from March 2020 until essentially September 2021. You know, we're talking about an 18-month stretch without social interaction. Now that's the nature of the decision that has to be made. And I think there it's a comparable decision to, you know, you as parents of a big time football player, you know, developmentally, when it comes from a football perspective, when it comes to the continuity of your career, you're weighing some certain risks with that, depending on where you thought your child was going to go versus obviously the risks of contracting COVID-19 through football related activity. Now the spectrum of risk versus reward, you know, you can definitely make the case. And we had a listener with a bit of criticism for us making the case that football players are safer in the structure of their environment than if they were out on their own. When Penn State students came back to campus, we saw some idiocy because that's what this age group and that's what college students do. You're never going to prevent college students from doing stupid things. Never. Now, you can isolate football players and you can put them in their protocol and you can test them frequently. You can make them accountable for their decisions. They're accountable to their teammates. As Diane Friermuth said, their why is clear when they've got football going on. So now you take football away. How much closer to the general student population do they drift when it comes to their behavior? I'm not sure the answer to that, but you can definitely make the case that they're safer in their football bubble. They're safer when they have structure and they're safer when they're accountable to themselves, their coaches and their teammates, where you start to lose a little bit of that in some of these cases, if you take that away.
And mentioning the rest of the student body, Dustin, you bring up it. Leads me to another topic. Remember a couple months ago where there was always this feeling put out by schools, we're not going to have football unless the students are back in the classroom. Ironically, if the students aren't in the classrooms, if learning is still remote, ironically, that would make things safer for the football players who wouldn't be interacting in class with fellow students, right?
Yeah. And I think ultimately, I think that's where most schools are going to end up, whether they start there or not. But yeah, I think, you know, and I've seen the thought, Jim, that by doing something like this, by making it so football players are the only students who are on campus, you're crossing some kind of threshold into an admission about their role at their university. And you're getting into territory where they're being treated more like employees than student athletes. I don't know how I feel about that, but I think that is a logical point that's being made, is that the definition of what they're there for and what they're there to do when they're held in completely different esteem and a completely different regard than the regular student, what fundamental shift might there be in how they're being viewed and how they're categorized? What's your take on that?
Well, I understand the logic of that argument, but they're already different. We know that. That ship has sailed long ago. They're the big man on campus. They have a full scholarship. They eat in different places. They're treated completely differently. We already know that. So I don't know if, like you said, allowing them to play football while there's not in-classroom education going on, I'm not sure that that's that great tipping point that changes them over from student athletes to employees. And you also have to remember there are football players and other students who already don't attend class. They have all their classes remotely anyway. So I'm not sure that that's the line that they're crossing that changes that.
I think the line that's being crossed is not the actual role that the student athletes are playing. It's the inability to deny it. The inability for the NCAA and for Mark Emmer to be like, students first, students first. You know, I think that's the line. It doesn't fundamentally change anything with their role. It just is a certain level of compliance or acceptance of that they've willfully kind of denied. I think that's the point of it.
Well, they don't maintain their plausible deniability that they're athletes first instead of students. So I want to get to something else, Dustin, going on in the last minute or so that we have left. Is there's been some talk of lawyers using the Freedom of Information Act to find out what's going on. They're not suing the conference to play. What they're looking for is more information. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, anybody can take this position. Now, lawyers are very well equipped to try to get to this. I think it was only a matter of time. In this information age and with the Freedom of Information Act allowing citizens to get responses to this, I don't know where the Big Ten falls as far as a public entity, but it was only a matter of time before, if they're not going to be forthcoming, they're going to dig up the communications. And I'm eager to learn what they learn.
Well, and I think towards that end, Dustin, I'm not sure if it's so much that the angle, and we're no lawyers here, but I'm not sure if it's they can attack that from the angle of going to the Big Ten as much as I think it could be from the other, from right. The university side. So here in Pennsylvania, and I know it's a little bit of a hybrid, but if you're going to call Penn State a public university and Michigan State and Ohio State, that's the entity they're going after, the actual universities. So we'll see where that goes. I'm very anxious to see the information. It would have been just easier if they came out and told us what was going on to begin with. So anyway, that is it for our show. Be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. DraftKings is giving away up to $100 million in prizes to all of their customers, including one lucky winner who will take home a $1 million cash prize. To claim your share, all you have to do is download the app and sign up using code KSN, then enter DraftKings Free Football Survivor Pool. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.